You know, we have spoken several topics, and we are actually still on the breaking the system of monitoring spirits. And tonight I'll be finishing on the mountains being a spiritual system that we have to be very careful how we follow it. This teaching about the mountains sets a very good picture for people to actually understand what happens in the spirit. The spirit of the spiritual world is completely different. It takes time for a person to adjust and understand that actually you are in the physical world but living in it spiritually. In my journey of faith, by the grace of God, it took me 5 years to understand this. And that's by the grace of God. It took me 5 years. But you, it's supposed to take you 2 days because you have teachers. We teach you all the times. You're supposed to learn, and by now you're supposed to be moving in the supernatural. One thing I don't like is to be living a natural life. Well, God has called me for the supernatural. If you have a neighbor next to you, ask that neighbor, are you living in the natural or you are living in the supernatural? Now, that's the most important question, because it's very important that you may actually be living in the natural while actually you're supposed to be living in the supernatural. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, let's do this as we are going ahead with our teaching. We spoke of Mount Ararat. And I told you this from the book of Zechariah. The Bible says, who are you mountains? You mighty mountains before Zerubbabel. He shall level you to the ground. Now, we actually spoke about mountains being spiritually significantly meaning problems. However, some mountains do not represent problems. Spiritually, they represent a place that God wants us to be. Example, King David, what did he say? He said, I set my eyes towards the mountains. Where do my help come from? He said, my help comes from the Lord. So what type of mountains was he talking about? We see Jesus Christ again and again going to the mountains. Are we saying there were no other places Jesus could pray? There were places to pray. But we actually see, as we'll be checking the scriptures today, Jesus would pass other mountains. He would leave other mountains and go to a certain particular mountain to pray. The question could be, why not praying on these other mountains? So spiritually, to a person, the Bible says, to those who are perishing, the wisdom of God is foolishness. And 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 12 to 16, it says, a spiritual man and a natural man, they're different. It says, a natural man, all things are okay because he is natural. But a spiritual person discerns everything, because in the spirit, you have to discern. And to discern there is to dokime or dokimazo, which means you must have an ability to understand what is this and what is this. You have to have the ability, not just to be born again. Like, I'm born again Christian, I go to church. That's not growth, that's not maturity. Maturity is when you begin to grow as a person. You begin to develop and you begin to understand. Because if you are a born again Christian, what does it mean? It means you are born like a baby. You may be 40 years and get born again. And when you are born again, it means you are just born spiritually. And a journey starts where you must develop. You must be able to be a child who can feed the milk. Eventually, you stop feeding the milk. You begin to have the porridge. And then you change the porridge. You begin to eat some hard stuff. And then that doesn't stop there. Teeth must start growing. And when the titties are growing, if you want to suck milk from your mom, you begin to bite your mother because now you have got teeth. And your mom has to stop you from milking because you are now becoming, you have teeth you can chew alone. So there must be moments when your prophet must leave you to handle certain things alone. Otherwise, you're going to actually bite your mother. I'm talking to somebody right here. Now, so you wonder like, oh, what's going on? I'm all alone in this. You just have to be alone. This is why you see kids crying. So this is a process spiritually where you see believers. They begin to cry. Why am I passing through this? They start feeling rejection. At that point, some believers actually go back to the world. At that point, some believers eventually they grow. Because it is this period where parents tell children, you're not going to get my milk. But remember, it is the same process when the child is giving more problems, refusing anything. The mom says, maybe let me just give the child the milk. So the child goes back into the milk. Well, other kids, that's the time they learn independence. Spiritually, you begin to grow alone. But some kids, we have them in church because they cry too much. We put them back on... And then we begin to look for other things that can replace that formula. And say, maybe this. So you may be in church for many, many years, praying and all that, but yet spiritually you're a baby. You still have got to cry like, why me? You have to cry. You see kids? They'll be like, anything else. Like, oh, stretch out. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right here, right? So when the child begins to become independent, that is not enough. So we have to teach the child to stop from being fed the milk. And we begin to say, eat yourself. Oh, you didn't hear me. So this is the process. Are you here, somebody? This is the process when a child begins to take everything and put on the mouth. You put a knife, the child takes the knife and try to put it on the mouth. Like, hey, we don't eat this one. And that's the biggest moment spiritually a lot of people backslide, because it's a moment where you say, hey, not this one. And that's where the Holy Spirit now begins to teach you. You know, there are some decisions you want to make. There are places you want to go. There are things you want to watch. But the Holy Spirit has to say, hey. Oh, I'm talking to somebody, right? The Holy Spirit has to say, no, hey. But you see, if the child persists, and then the child thinks no one is seeing me here, the child will take a coin and put it in the mouth. And then when the coin goes on the throat, now the parents have to take the child into the hospital. Now the doctors have to treat to remove this. So this is the moment, some of you right now, you have a coin on your throat, and God is sending us as men of God to remove that coin. It's the whole process to grow spiritually. Don't think it is just, I'm born again and I'm in church. It looks so fantastic. It isn't. It isn't. There are a lot of processes you're going through individually at an individual level, and you don't even notice it because all you do is to sit in the congregation. But every person is a project. So when you see other ministries which are not prophetic, they don't say spiritual father. It's just my pastor. My apostle. In the prophetic is a fathership, because so you can understand the process of growth. So then you have got other kids spiritually who are matured. Others are in the middle. Others are still young. Others are babies. Others are just actually being born yesterday. They're all in the congregation. Some were born long time ago, but they've got a problem scientifically. It's known as what? Retarded growth. They don't grow. That's true babies. You see those people who behave like kids and that they are grown up. So we have others spiritually who actually need special teachers. You have to take them to special schools. So we have all this, and they're all in church. And as a man of God, I have to take everybody, teach them and show them the way. You see how difficult it is? So where are you? Are you on the milk? So when you are born again, it means Physically, you are grown up, but spiritually, this is what is happening to you as an individual. You have that moment when the Holy Spirit says, don't eat this, don't drink this, you can eat this. That moment, okay? That moment. Normally, it happens after you have just been born again, and after some time, you have this voice so strongly that keeps on telling you. And then it stops. Because spiritually, the Holy Spirit now knows you are grown up. You now know what is good and what is right. So that's the moment you have to decide yourself. It's a moment where you begin to feel like you're far away from God. No, you didn't hear me. So you have even kids at this stage. Now they are 13 years, 14 years. You know, parents kind of like leave them. And that's the most dangerous part as well. That's the most, it's called teenage. They've got so much peer pressure. And spiritually, there's that peer pressure. Because you are a teenager. You are 55 years, but spiritually, you are what? Teenager. You are a teenager. Anyone can influence you. You're going to go for parties spiritually. Anyone can say, let's go to this. Oh, there's another man of God here, you go. Another man of God here, you go. And you understand what I'm saying? You begin to party. You begin to party. You are not yet grown up. And as you are growing, you begin to. At this stage, people can influence you. They can tell you to say, oh, that man of God, all this. At this stage, it's very dangerous because spiritually, you are not yet grown. I hope you're getting me. Now, can you imagine? Then you move from this and you grow in a level where you are legal. You don't need parents. You are now an adult. You can now marry. You can make your own decisions now. That's the point you begin to decide now to say, oh, this is my church. This is my spiritual father. But that does not mean that if you made a decision, this is my church, this is my spiritual father, you are grown up. Because even at the age of 5, you can still decide to say, you can still say, this is my father. It doesn't mean you are grown up. Now, can you imagine that Jesus, God, has all these levels of people, the whole world. And some are even pastors, prophets, and they are babies in the spirit. The fact that you are gifted does not mean you are matured. No. The fact that you are gifted, it doesn't mean you are matured. It doesn't. When God just called me and I was still growing up, I made so many mistakes because I was not matured. I was not matured. I was telling some people today, one time I was in a class like this and I'm in a class and the teacher's teaching there and then I raised up my hand. The teacher says, hey, how can I help you? I'm like, I just want to tell you that you're HIV positive. No. Get out. That was the answer. Get out. At that point, I was even thinking I'm being persecuted. But was that wisdom? No. It wasn't. So I had a gift, but I was not matured. So the fact that you are gifted doesn't mean you are grown. You make so many mistakes until you are matured. So people confuse maturity with what? With gifts. Because he can teach, he can preach, he's grown up spiritually. No. Because you are able to pray, you are able to fast, you are grown up spiritually. No. So we have even pastors who be teaching on the pulpit, trying to teach the body of Christ what they don't even understand. Because we all grow. And the way I understand things today, the way I understand things today is not how I understand the things 10 years from now. Because we all grow. We all grow. I'm not there. That's why I hunger. I thirst for that. I fast for that because we want to get there. So it's not like we are mature, like, oh, we are done. No. However, I have matured to a certain level that some of you have not matured. You didn't hear me. And because of that, God has given me a responsibility of you. You didn't hear me. So, where am I coming from with all this explanation? You hear people not understanding spiritual things. When Jesus Christ spoke about the mountains, he didn't mean physical mountains. When he said, if you have faith, in Matthew 17, when he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard, you shall say unto this mountain, he didn't mean a physical mountain. In that context, the reference was the demon he had just casted. A spirit, a mute and dumb spirit, which was causing a child to go through seizures. A child will fall in the fire, a child will fall in the water, and it was a demonic principality and entity that disciples failed to cast out. And Jesus referred it as a mountain. He said, if you have faith as a small as a mustard seed, you shall say unto it. And tonight I'm talking to people who have tried to cast out some mountains. There could be a financial mountain, there could be this mountain, whatever mountain that you're facing. But hear this, and it's not coming out. That's where our message is coming from. So we actually went into the mountains in the Bible, spiritual mountains, and we saw the significances of each mountain starting from Ararat. And tonight we are praying against this. I want to take time here because I want to move into another mountain. Mount Ephraim or Ephraim. Say Mount Ephraim. Are you here? Oh, yes. I won't take so much time here, but I want you to know, for purposes of your knowledge and growth, I want you to know what is the significance of Mount Ephraim. That as far as it was from the town where Jesus was doing ministry in Capernaum, Jesus had to walk days and days to go to this mountain. What was important of this mountain? It is not really a mountain geographically. It is a hill, but it is called a mountain. Why? Because Mount Ephraim, it is a place of refuge, fortress, hiding place. It is a place where God takes you into this experience if he sees you're going to be exposed and be destroyed. When God puts you here, he's hiding you to protect you. And we have people like, I don't know why, I'm no longer famous. Shut up. Can you imagine God is hiding you and you want to show up? God puts you and you want to show up. It is very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. I'm going to show you, okay? This mountain, it is also combined with a valley where it is known as Kerif or Cherif. You remember Kerif? It is where God spoke to Elijah. He said, go and hide. And God said, you will stay there. If the whole prophet, and that word Cherif or Kerif means isolation, abandonment, rejection. It is a place when God puts you there, You'll be feeling like people reject you, people hate you, people don't love you. But God says, wait a minute, I'm protecting you. In 1 Samuel 14, verse 22, let's check New Living Translation. Likewise, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country of Ephraim, men of Israel who were what? Where were they hiding?
In the hill country of Ephraim.
All right. I want you to see that. Hiding. In Joshua 21, verse 20, in New Living Translation, the rest of the Kohathite clan from the tribe of Levi was allotted the following towns and pastures from the tribe of Ephraim. All right, go ahead. Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, a city of refuge. What is refuge? A hiding place. So you can actually see all scriptures we'll be reading here, they'll be talking about people who are hiding there. Let's read another scripture. 1 Chronicles 6, verse 66. The descendants of Kohath were given the following towns.
From the territory of Ephraim, each with its pasture land. Shechem, a city of refuge in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer.
This place was bought by Jacob. You know, when Jacob had gone to, after he was blessed by his father, he went far away to his uncle Laban, and he came back with money after doing the farming of goats, and he became a multimillionaire. The money he took from there, some of it he invested to buy this place. It is also a place where he was buried. In the book of Joshua, okay, let me just show you this. In the book of Joshua 24, verse 32, NIV, the Bible says, and Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of the land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. So you must get that word. It is also a place where Deborah, because of fear in her leadership, she ruled from this mountain. In Judges 10 verse 1. It is also a place where Tola rose to save Israel. Okay? So, about Deborah, it's Judges 4, verse 5. About Tola, it is Judges 10, verse 1. About Deborah, Judges 4, verse 5. She held court under palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. Now, I want you to understand this. We're going now to the main verse, which I wanted to read for you. In the New Testament now, our Lord Jesus Christ walked for almost 3 days to this hill country. In John 11, verse 53 to 54, in New Living Translation. So from that time on, the Jewish leaders began to plot Jesus' death. As a result, Jesus stopped his public ministry among the people and left Jerusalem. He went to a place near the wilderness, to the village of Ephraim, and stayed there with his disciples. He left public ministry and went to hide. If Jesus, with his all wisdom and power, could leave public ministry and go to Ephraim, why are you not going there spiritually? A place they can't find you. A place they can't locate you. So Mount Ephraim, maybe you may not know it, it is made in a way that it has a lot of caves, that if a person goes in there, they can't find you. Now imagine that God puts you spiritually at this mountain. and you're trying to expose yourself. For all of you that God has put you in this mountain, I pray that wait until he takes you out. Amen. Wait until he takes you out. But when you come out, the whole world will shake. Amen. We're not going to stay much here. We're going to another mountain called Mount Ebal. E-B-A-L. Mount Ebal. This mountain has got two peaks that divides it. And because of that, it has got two mountains. So Mount Ebal has got two peaks. It's one mountain with the two peaks. Until today. It's not like it's a history. Until today. The other side is known as Ebal. The other side is known as Gerizim. Now, if we check the scripture, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 29, it says, when the Lord your God had brought you into the land you were entering to possess, you must pronounce the blessing.
At Mount Gerizim.
Wait, I have a big problem here. A blessing where?
At Mount Gerizim.
And a curse where?
And a curse at Mount Ebal.
I have a big problem here. If God himself is even dividing which mountain is for curse, this is God giving commands. He says, the other side of the mountain, there's a curse. Same mountain. What does this mountain represent? It represents those believers who operate from both curses and blessings at the same time. Now, can you imagine that you are in church, you are praying, you are giving, you're doing everything else. On the other hand, you are facing curses. On the other hand, you are facing what? Blessings. Tell neighbor, move out. It is a place of mixed reactions. It is the only mountain that the people of Israel had to be divided. Six tribes stand on that mountain. Six tribes stand on this mountain. Because we want to announce both things. Now, let me give you a scripture. It doesn't end there. There are more scriptures that talks about the division where they have to experience both. In Deuteronomy 27, verse 12 to 13, NIV, let's read NIV. When you have crossed the Jordan, these tribes shall stand on what?
Mount Gerizim.
To do what?
To bless the people.
What are the tribes?
Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin.
Thank you. In verse 13.
And these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce curses. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali.
Now, I have a big problem here. I got a big problem. Can you imagine that? On the other hand, today, testimony. Oh, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God of major one. God of major one. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. I have a testimony. My testimony goes like this. I'm Linda. From where? You can feel it. And this happened and this happened after just going home. Guesses, problems after problems. If you are experiencing both, you are having an able experience where both blessings and curses are operating. Somebody say out. Mount Ebal, it is a place where people experience both. I'm not just teaching something like a history. I'm teaching practical teachings. And you may actually sit yourself and see what I'm talking about. You're not supposed to be experiencing both. You're supposed only to operate from Mount Gerizim, a place of blessings. But the enemy is putting you at both. The people of Israel had to be divided to say, half of you must test the cases, half of you blessings. And it's one nation. So half of it it is on curses. Half of it is on blessings. Can you imagine where you are actually experiencing both? I don't know if you hear what I'm trying to say to you. Are you here? Can you imagine a life where you are actually mixed? It's a miracle, 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 miracle. Then problem, problem, problem. Then miracle, then problem, then problem. Problem, problem, then miracle. If I'm talking to somebody who's experiencing this, raise up a hand with the holy anger. And they say, in the name of Jesus, not again. No, you're not serious about it. You're not serious about it. Is that holy anger? Raise up a hand and say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, not again.
Not again.
Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, not again.
Not again. Praise God.
How can your life be where you're experiencing both? Miracle, problem. Miracle, problem, problem, problem. And actually, problems are even more than a miracle. Miracle, problem. Miracle, problem. Then problem, 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 problem. Then a miracle. Ah, no. Say, I'm tired. Say, not again. It is an experience you are having. Spiritually, it is a mountain. Can you imagine it? God even says, at this place, both shall happen. And just to say, the Bible says, if I have faith like a seed, I shall command the mountain. Which mountain are you talking about? Now at least you know. Now you know. Now you know when I say a mount of curses, you know it's able. Or Geboa. You know that I can't be in these places. You know what is Ho. You know what is Camel. At least Ephraim, God can hide you there. At least Horeb, God reveals himself to you. You know your calling. Let me finish with this mountain and then we pray. Mount Tabor. Say Mount Tabor. T-A-B-O-R. Tabor. This mountain in the New Testament, it is known as Mount of Transfiguration. This is a place where things happen. When God puts you here, he wants to change your story. Period. There's no discussion. If you get in this mountain, like tonight, you'll be getting over this mountain. Simple. From a nobody to somebody. Transfiguration. Let's check about this mountain first before we even go further. La kapaya mande rediga fahaduje. Thank you. Now let's go. Let's start reading the scriptures. In Joshua 19, verse 12. You see the mention of this mountain. Can you read it for me?
Joshua 19, verse 12. It turned east from Sarid towards the sunrise to the territory of Kisloth, Tabor, and went on to Dabelath and up to Japhia.
And I want also you to know that at this mountain, God puts your enemies under your control. He puts them in your hands. In Judges 4, verse 6 to 7, NKJV.
Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10 southern men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And again you and I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hands.
I will deliver your enemy where?
Into your hands.
Into your hand. At Mount Tabor, it is not a place for jokes. God here, he just puts everything under your control. He puts your enemy under your control. He puts them in your hands. He makes things. He turns your story. It is a place where the woman of God in the Bible, the judge, Deborah, after suffering for years, a transformation, transfiguration happened here. God said, I'll put your enemy under your feet. I'll put him subject to you. At this place, God now, if you operate at this place, God now says, you know what? This thing happening in your life, I'm putting them under your control. If it is the money the enemy was using against you, God will put it in your hand. If it is a situation that God was actually causing against you, he puts you in control. It is a place where God said, I'll put the enemy in your hand. And the reason why God is going to do this, because this mountain is so spiritual. Wait, what have I said? I will show you how spiritual it is from the scriptures. In the book of Psalms, I want you to see what this mountain is able to do.
Yes, sir.
Okay? In the book of Psalms, what does David say? In 89, verse 12, NIV. In the book of Psalms, can you just see what David says here?
You created the north and the south, Tabor and Hermon, sing for joy at your name.
Now, so this mountain has an ability even to sing. But the type of songs this mountain sings, songs of joy. When God puts you here, he puts you here for joy. You didn't hear me. The Bible says this mountain is able to sing songs of joy. When Jesus Christ went there, tell your neighbor, if you have a neighbor, tell your neighbor that you transfigure here. People won't understand you. God will put the enemy under your control, and even the mountain sings songs of what?
Joy.
Tabor. A mount of transfiguration. When Jesus went to Mount Tabor, the story until today is no longer called the Tabor. It's called Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus, he was born in Nazareth. And I want you to know, from Mount Tabor to Nazareth, it's not far. However, there are four mountains before Tabor, including that mountain where Jesus was taken, where they wanted to throw him on a cliff. That mountain is even more closer to Nazareth. But Jesus passed that mountain. He passed the second one. He passed the third one. He passed to Tabor. Because he knew, I need a transfiguration here. Something has to happen. Spiritually, God is putting you tonight on that mountain. Let's see the prophecy. In Jeremiah 46, verse 18, NIV. What is Jeremiah the prophet prophesying about this mountain?
As surely as I live, declares the king, whose name is the Lord Almighty, one will come who is like Tabor among the mountains, like Carmel by the sea.
Did you hear that? So, I want you to see this. It says, there will be a person who will come. And when this person is coming, you will come like Mount Tabor. And you shall see him walking by the water. Wait a minute. The Bible says what? It says someone will come who's like Tabor among the mountains, like Carmel by the sea. What is Carmel? It's Mount Carmel. He says this person will come like Tabor. And you come like a mountain of challenge. and challenge everyone. I'm talking to somebody here. Yeah, he didn't hear it. Are you following? This mountain, Mount Tabor, it is so spiritual that actually Jeremiah had to prophesy how great this mountain is. He says when Jesus Christ will come, he will be like that mountain. And when Jesus Christ will come, he will be like Mount Carmel. I stand here and I prophesy. Your moment of transfiguration has come. In Mark 9, from verse 2 to 8, can you read it for me?
Mark 9, verse number 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's time to transfigure. And the way you're talking, it's like you know what I'm talking about. If God puts you here, listen, if God puts you here, he means one business: to change you. When you find yourself here, if you are broke, money must come. If you are sick, healing must happen. If you are poor, prosperity must come. It is a place where God changes people. God, you completely change at this place. And when you come at transfiguration, your face, your everything around you changes. Even God puts a stamp, "This is my daughter. This is my son." As you stand up on your feet, I want us to stand against every force of the enemy that it makes you to be experiencing both curses, problems, miracles, problems, testimonies, problems. We want to rebuke that experience. You don't belong there. You don't belong there. We want to command that experience out of your way. You have to experience health period. You have to experience healing period. You have to experience miracles period. You have to experience holiness, righteousness period. Not a life of both. Falling, rising, falling, rising. Spiritually strong, spiritually weak. Spiritually strong, spiritually weak. Making it, failing, making it, failing. We want to stand against such experience in the name of Jesus. And as you're still standing, I want you to realize this, that when God brought Joshua at this mountain, it's where Joshua, that's where God said, "I have placed before you blessings and the curse." It was here at this mountain. Gerizim and Abel. He said, "Choose one." Meaning that we can actually choose what we want to experience. Death, curses, or life, blessings. It's up to us. Joshua said, "As for me and in my house, have chosen Gerizim." We have chosen life and blessings. So it's a matter of choice. So we are standing here today and we are commanding that in the name of Jesus, every experience I'm facing, Where I see blessings and problems, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And you must be very serious about it. If you have anointing oil, right now, if you have anointing oil, please anoint yourself on your head. Just anoint yourself on your head now. Anoint yourself on your head right now.